Every year, the Gospel Music Association hosts the annual Dove Awards ceremony to give out awards and shout outs to the best Christian groups and best Christian singers of the previous year. And last October the 17th, at the annual Dove Awards ceremony in Nashville, Tennessee, a former singer with Cademan's Call, a guy named Derek Webb, showed up wearing a dress, along with a drag queen called Flamey Grant, who sang a song on Derek Webb's latest CD, a song called Boys Will Be Girls. Did I mention that this was a Christian Music Association award ceremony? And why did Derek Webb do that? This is what he said. This is what we Christians have to do these days to draw people to Jesus, to show queer joy, and let everybody know that Jesus came to redeem all people. I'm doing this simply to draw people to Jesus. Holy Sodom and Gomorrah, people, that's what we got to do to draw folks to Jesus? Trash God and manhood and blow off His word and act like Dylan Mulvaney? No. In order to draw people to Jesus, we need to live for Jesus in righteousness and purity according to His word. But sadly enough, too many Christians in these last days when it's needed the most are not doing that. And our witness and the witness of the church in America is being destroyed because of it. Well, we're going to start changing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Living for Jesus, looking at what it really means to live for Jesus Christ in these last days before Jesus comes again. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at what living for Jesus starts with, and that's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to John chapter 14 and verses 16 and 17. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, John 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for Your word, and I just thank You so much for that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we can have by the power of the Holy Spirit, You living in us. I pray You just teach us this morning, Lord, how absolutely critical it is that we have that relationship and that we be close to You, especially in these last days. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit and open Your word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. In this part of John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to His disciples during the Last Supper. And He's telling them after He dies on the cross and rises from the dead and ascends into heaven, He will send back the Holy Spirit. And in our text today, Jesus tells them when they get that Holy Spirit in them, they can still have a personal relationship with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we get that Holy Spirit in us, we can have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ too. Our text this morning, John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, tells us three things that we need to understand about that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about that personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what that relationship is all about. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here in verses 16 and 17. You have a relationship with Jesus just like you have a relationship with your husband, your wife, your parents, your kids, your family members, your friends, all the people in your life that you are closest to, 24/7, 365. But here's the difference. Your spouse can get on your nerves. Jesus never will. Your kids can get in your hair. Jesus never will. Your parents can get on your back. Jesus never will. Your BFF can ghost you and dump you. Jesus never will. And Jesus can live inside of you. None of those other people can. If you're a Christian, your most important relationship status, you are in a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Got this note a couple of weeks ago proving that Christians like to fight about everything. Pastor Garner, stop telling people they need a personal relationship with Jesus. Because that phrase personal relationship isn't found anywhere in the Bible. Stop with the personal relationship with Jesus stuff. Well, let me ask you, what do you want? An impersonal relationship with Jesus? Communicate with Him with smoke signals and Morse code? Folks, no English word or phrase is really used anywhere in the Bible. Because the Bible was originally written in Hebrew and Greek. The word, English word Trinity isn't found in the Bible either, but we know that that's real. The phrase personal relationship with Jesus Christ isn't found anywhere in the Bible. But folks, the concept is all over the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is a personal God who knows everything about you personally. Even how many hairs are on your head at any given time. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for your personal sins and rose from the dead for your personal salvation. So if you personally confess your personal sins to this personal God and personally ask Jesus to come into your life and be your personal Savior, He will come in your heart and you can have a personal relationship with Him. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17. You don't think knowing Jesus is personal? And folks, Jesus is real. Last August, 30-year-old Kevin Green from Knoxville, Tennessee, got snookered out of $50,000 because he was sending money to a hot-looking girl named Claudia that he found on a dating site called Teaser. Come to find out, Claudia was just a catfish and AI bot, totally computer-generated. But see, Jesus Christ is not a deep fake. Jesus is not a chatbot. He's the living God, and He doesn't want to scam you. He wants to save you. You say, well, Kevin, I don't need a religion. Excuse me, Jesus Christ is not a religion. Jesus Christ is not my religion. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ did not go through hell on a cross and rise from the dead and give the devil a beatdown to give you a religion. He did that to give you a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father. Do you have that relationship? Last March, Kim Kardashian bought a cross necklace formerly owned by Princess Diana, the altar cross, $197,453. But see, what really matters is not having a cross around your neck. The only thing that matters is having Jesus in your heart. John chapter 3 verse 3, Jesus said, you've got to be born again. You've got to confess your sins and ask Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. Because if you are not born again, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You just think you do. Has your relationship status changed? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And of course, the world today doesn't believe this at all. Verse 17, the world cannot accept Him because it neither knows Him or sees Him. George Barna tells us only 16% of millennials believe that you can be born again and have Jesus Christ living inside of you. 16%, it's less than 2% in Generation Z. Bill Maher says this, Christianity is about being demonically possessed by the spirit of a Jewish zombie. No, we Christians are not possessed by an evil spirit. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. A 45-year-old woman named Sonia Semenova from Vancouver, British Columbia, now claims she's an ecosexual, which means she has a personal loving relationship with a tree. Well, see, we Christians have a personal loving relationship with God because of a tree, because of the cross of Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And people don't understand. That's what every single one of us was created to have. The Bible says, Colossians 1:16, all things were created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. You were created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. You were created by God to know Him through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that, there is a hole in your heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. And the reason that so many people have lives that are so boring and empty and meaningless is because they're trying to fill that hole with anything but Jesus Christ. And I mean anything. You know what the most popular gift was for preteen girls last Christmas here in America? I kid you not. A Stanley insulated cup. These things have been around since 1913. But now Stanley's come out all different colors, all different kinds of bling, personalized name plaques, straw tips, you name it. People camped out for days in front of Target stores to get these things. The video you see is a little girl who got one for Christmas. Look at her reaction.
That's what she wanted.
She's even crying about it. It's a cup, people. But see, if it's hot, if it's popular, I want it, I need it, I got it, look at me. Until it gets old and the next thing comes along. You don't need an insulated cup. You need Jesus Christ. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And folks, that is exactly what our world needs the most today. Because loneliness and emptiness and meaninglessness is off the charts all over the world. Right now, 1 out of 3 Americans lives all by themselves. And I'm not saying that all single people are lonely, because they're not. But a lot of them are. George Barna tells us 3 out of 4 Americans say they have no one person, not one single person in their life that they say they can talk to. Loneliness and emptiness. And farmers in places of the world are making a killing off it, because people are now paying farmers to come to their farm and hug their cows. Because evidently there's supposed to be something soothing and healing about hugging a cow. Folks, I grew up on a farm. I guarantee you the last thing I ever thought about doing with cows was hugging them. Emptiness and meaninglessness and depression. There's people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. That's you, isn't it? And you know why? Because you miss God. Because there is a relationship that you were created to have. It's a relationship you don't have because you don't have Jesus Christ. That personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And do we have any idea how incredible that relationship really is? Picture you see on the screen is Lyle and Ellen Hathorne, both born-again Christians, been here at Fox River for a long while now. And if you don't know them, you should. Years ago, Lyle and Ellen were each married to other people. And Lyle and his wife and Ellen and her husband all knew each other and went to the same church. Then Lyle's wife died. 2 years later, Ellen's husband died. And then after a while, God put Ellen on Lyle's heart. They started dating. They got married July 9, 2005. They've had 18 and a half great years together. A lot of those Sundays spent here at Fox River Church, and this congregation has been blessed incredibly because of them. Lyle's the oldest member here at Fox River now, and a World War II veteran. Been a Christian for a long time, and with all his wisdom from walking with the Lord for so many years, he's like E.F. Hutton around here. Because when Lyle Hathorne talks, people listen. And he's part of a group of guys who meet and pray every Sunday before the church service starts here at Fox River. So one of the big reasons so many people have gotten saved here over the last 3 years is because of those prayers. But about a month and a half ago, after a Sunday school class, Ellen came up to me with tears in her eyes and told me that Lyle was getting real confused. Couldn't figure out a lot of things. Constantly asking what day it was and what time it was. And nobody wants to put somebody that they love in a nursing home, but it got to the point he couldn't figure out anything. Got to the point he didn't even realize he was at home. Got to the point he was seeing things, even seeing people in the house who weren't really there. Dementia is a terrible thing, folks. And there's people sitting in this church right now, listening to this sermon. You know exactly what I'm talking about because you're dealing with it too. One night it got so bad he kept seeing strange people all over the house. He kept asking, who are all these strange people in my house? And Ellen kept telling him, Lyle, there's nobody here. All those strange people are gone. He looked at her and said, but you're still here. He didn't even recognize her. Got to the point he was bound and determined he was going to get in the car and find his wife. And she tried to calm him down. She said, Lyle, let's just go to bed for the night and sleep and go to sleep and forget about it. Let's just go to sleep and forget about it. He absolutely wouldn't do it. And you know why? Because he said he was not going to sleep in the same bed with a woman he wasn't married to, because he said Jesus wouldn't like it. Did you catch that? The absolute number one, most important, closest, most personal, most intimate relationship that is possible from one human being to the other is the relationship that exists between a husband and a wife in a heterosexual marriage, just like God designed it. But as important and critical and close and personal, intimate as that relationship is, there's another relationship you can have that's even more personal and intimate and important than that one. And that's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Lyle forgot his wife. He didn't forget the Lord. And why? Because verse 17, your spouse can be with you, but Jesus will not only be with you, he will be in you forever. Now, last December the 29th, when Lyle was in the hospital, that was Ellen's birthday. And Lyle recognized her. She walked into the hospital, even told her happy birthday, even recognized other family members. About 12 days ago, Ellen was having lunch with Lyle at Ottawa Pavilion. And she wasn't really sure if he really knew who she was or not. But all of a sudden, he reached over, grabbed her hand, and said a prayer over the food before they ate. And the only reason that Ellen gave me permission to share this stuff with you is to remind you how precious is that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because even when he does forget her, he still never forgets him. Never. And here's the good news, even better, even if you do forget that you have a relationship with Jesus, Jesus will never forget that he has a relationship with you. Because when Jesus said, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, he meant it for real. The first thing we need to understand about that personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what that relationship is all about. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only what it's all about, but it's also based on truth. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth. And the truth is, we can have a relationship with Jesus because we can relate to Jesus. Because Jesus went through every single thing that you and I go through. Jesus knows what it's like to be tired and dirty and hungry and thirsty. Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected and betrayed. And made fun of and dumped on. Jesus knows what it's like to have people who are supposed to love you more than anything else in the whole wide world break your heart in a million pieces. Jesus knows what it's like to have loved ones die on you. He's a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Jesus knows what it's like to fight depression. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted by drugs and drinking and sex and porn and grudges and not forgiving other people. He can relate to us because he came down here like one of us. And let me ask you, who else can we relate to today? Pop singer Mariah Carey, the so-called Queen of Christmas, imports real snow and live reindeer every year for her kids at Christmas time at her mansion in Southern California. You think Mariah Carey drives around looking for the cheap gas? Oprah Winfrey lives in a $90 million mansion at a place called Promised Land, California. And right next to it, she built a totally separate house just so she can have a place to read the newspaper every morning. You think Oprah uses a Kroger card? Prince Harry didn't even know that cereal came out of a cardboard box till he joined the British military. We can't relate to those people. But you know what? We can relate to Jesus Christ. So the question is this morning. Are you turning to that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, especially when trouble comes? Because when trouble comes, Jesus doesn't run away like most everybody else does. Actor Shannon Doherty beat breast cancer 5 years ago. It was totally gone, but last spring it came back with a vengeance, and now she's listed as terminal. This is what Shannon Doherty said in People magazine. Through all the years of fighting this cancer, I've gotten closer to Jesus Christ than ever before. And I've come to realize he is Lord of my life, Lord of all, Lord of anything that happens. So whether I'm physically healed or not, I have peace because Jesus has me covered and it's all good. Relationship with Jesus Christ based on truth. There's days when I get a lot of hate mail. And my wife Sue is mad at me for good reason and she's not talking to me. And even my little dog Watson is pouting and won't look at you. You know it's bad when even your dog doesn't want anything to do with you. But Psalm chapter 27 verse 10, your father, your mother, your wife, your dog may reject you, but the Lord will receive you because Jesus always wants a relationship with you. Always. Even when it's at the worst. Even when your fiancé breaks up with you a month before the wedding. Even when the sonogram shows that the baby's heart isn't beating anymore. Even when your wife that you thought you knew and loved, you find out she's been sexting teenage guys. Even when your husband dies of a stroke and you have no idea how you're going to live without him. Even when your sister kills herself and all you want to do is kill yourself too. And you've been so hurt. And so used, abused, sexually. You feel like that gunk that people scrape off the bottom of their shoe. And you're scared to death you're never going to find your happily ever after because nobody's going to want you. Listen to me. Jesus wants you. You turn to Jesus Christ, you will no longer be forsaken. You will no longer be desolate. You will be a crown of beauty and a royal diamond in the hand of the Lord. And he will take delight in you. Isaiah chapter 62 verses 3 and 4. And that's the truth. A relationship with Jesus Christ based on truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. His Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Truth that the world doesn't want to deal with today. Truth about racism. Last November the 1st, a 17-year-old kid named Jonathan Lewis got beat to death at Rancho High School, Las Vegas, Nevada, by 10 other guys in that school. And of course, the mainstream media never mentioned the fact that Jonathan Lewis was white and all 10 of his killers were black. Not one mainstream media source in this country mentioned one thing about anybody's color involved. And why? Well, of course, because only white people can be racist and only white people can commit hate crimes, right? Folks, if Jonathan Lewis was black and his attackers were white, nationwide headlines, protests from sea to shining sea. May of 2022, a 17-year-old racist named Peyton Gendron shot and killed black people at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York in less than 25 minutes. His entire manifesto had been downloaded off of Facebook and put out there for the entire world to see. But last March, a tranny named Audrey Hale shot and murdered six Christians at Covenant Presbyterian Christian School in Nashville, Tennessee. 10 months later, her manifesto still hasn't been released. And why? Because last month, Stephen Crowder got a hold of 3 pages of it, and it has Audrey Hale spouting all kinds of woke anti-racist claptrap. I want to kill all you little white crackers with all your white privilege. See, if the shooter is white, if the shooter is racist, let it all hang out. But if the shooter is LGBTQ, cue the crickets. Last January the 4th, Perry School in Perry, Iowa. A 17-year-old kid named Dylan Butler shot and killed a 6th-grade boy and wounded 7 other people before killing himself. And again, what the trained SEALs in the media purposely didn't tell you, Dylan Butler identified as trans. He thought he was a girl. All kinds of trans pronouns and pride flags all over his Instagram. And why didn't the media tell you that? Because, of course, there's a 100% gag order on anything that makes LGBTQ look bad in any way, shape, or form. There's no spirit of truth in this country. Every single thing that Jeffrey Epstein owned, every vehicle, every building was under constant 24/7, 365 video surveillance. And Jeffrey Epstein's partner in crime, a woman named Ghislaine Maxwell, her father was an international spy for 3 different foreign countries and all kinds of foreign intelligence services. So folks, Jeffrey Epstein wasn't just running a sex trafficking operation. He was running a huge blackmail operation, getting pictures and videos of the most powerful men in the world having sex with little girls so they would do anything the New World Order told them to do. And how do we know that? August 10, 2019, Jeffrey Epstein mysteriously found dead in a jail cell in New York City. Suicide my eye. February 12, 2022, Jeffrey Epstein's partner in Europe, a man named Jean Bernal, mysteriously found dead in a jail cell in Paris, France. Suicide my eye. How far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? Spirit of truth. Church of Jesus Christ today doesn't care about the spirit of truth anymore because too many Christians and too many churches don't deal with truth. We've got churches in America right now who are flying the Palestinian flag in front of their building. The Palestinian flag for the symbol of Muslims. Muslims who hate Jews in Israel. Muslims who hate Christians. Muslims whose very own holy book, the Quran, tells them to behead Christians and chop at their neck. Oh yeah, let's fly that flag. Let's support that. My God, people, how blind to evil can Christians be? Pope Francis doubling down on the blessing of same-sex couples? 40% of all evangelical Christians today and 2 out of 3 people in dead mainline churches now believe that gay marriage is as fine and dandy as cotton candy. Everybody does realize, right, that you can't be LGBTQ and Christian at the same time, right? Now, can you struggle with same-sex attraction? Can you struggle with gender dysphoria and still be a Christian? Absolutely. Because every single one of us struggles with one kind of a sin or another. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 says, no one who continues in sin really knows God. And what that literally means in the Greek, there is no way in the world that you can be openly unrepentant, out and proud, LGBTQ, and parade it through the streets and brainwash it into little kids and still be a Christian at the same time. Because you are denying the power of the Holy Spirit that is trying to convict you of that sin and trying to get you to repent of it. You can be gay. You can be a Christian. But you can't be a gay Christian. His word, not mine. Relationship with Jesus Christ based on a spirit of truth. You care about truth in relationship to the church. You've also got to care about truth in relationship to your country. And sadly enough, that's something that we're not getting at all these days. Last January the 5th at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, Joe Biden used the third anniversary of January the 6th to kick off his 2024 election campaign with the scariest speech I have ever heard from anybody ever to come out of the White House. Here's a part of it that ought to curl your hair.
For the first time in our history, insurrectionists have come to stop the peaceful transfer of power in America. First time. Smashing windows, shattering doors, attacking the police. Outside, gallows were erected as the MAGA crowd chanted, "Hang Mike Pence." Inside, they hunted for Speaker Pelosi. The House was chanting as they marched through and smashed windows, "Where's Nancy?" Over 140 police officers were injured. Jill and I attended the funeral of police officers who died as a result of the events of that day. Because of Donald Trump's lies, they died because these lies brought a mob to Washington. He promised it would be wild, and it was. He told the crowd to fight like hell, and all hell was unleashed.
Folks, Joseph Stalin would be proud because that comes right out of the communist playbook. Absolutely and directly. The Biden administration has been an absolute disaster like we all knew it would be. But who does Joe Biden blame for the failure? Donald Trump and all you MAGA people. Because see, Donald Trump is Hitler and all you conservatives are his brown shirts who are hell-bent on destroying our democracy. Which is an absolute joke because who is it that's really destroying our democracy? That's Joe Biden. Joe Biden's trying to rig the 2024 election by putting the leading candidate in the White House in prison for 800 years. And his minions are trying to take Donald Trump's name off the ballot in umpteen different states and take away people's right to vote. And he's violating the Constitution by flooding this country with 20,000 illegal aliens every single day and installing digital currency so Big Brother can control your every move with the mark of the beast. I could go on and on. But see, the real problem is Donald Trump and you conservatives, because you're trying to destroy the country. So Joe Biden goes to Valley Forge to make everybody think he's George Washington and the savior of the nation. And if you don't like Joe Biden and let the left stay in power forever and let them destroy democracy in order to save our democracy, that's the end of the republic. My God, people, you talk about insanity. And what did Joe Biden say was proof that Donald Trump and his supporters are trying to destroy our democracy? Of course, January the 6th. But even though the left calls January the 6th an insurrection, not one of the January 6th detainees has ever been convicted or even charged with insurrection. See the pictures of all the protesters in the Capitol building just calmly strolling through the halls? Some of the Capitol Hill police officers are even giving them tours. And if January the 6th really was an insurrection, it's the only unarmed insurrection in the history of the world. Because the only people with weapons in the Capitol building that day were Capitol Hill police officers. And the only person who died that day was Trump supporter Ashley Babbitt, shot and killed by a trigger-happy cop whose name was never released and who was cleared of all charges. And Donald Trump didn't commit insurrection that day because during his speech, he told supporters to peacefully and patriotically protest. And after protesters went into the Capitol building, Donald Trump sent out multiple tweets telling people to stay peaceful and to go home. Folks, all the evidence shows January the 6th was a setup by the Biden administration to stop the investigation into the stolen 2020 election. Videos and pictures show Capitol Hill police shooting rubber bullets and tear gas into the crowd to purposely agitate the protesters. Former FBI agent Larry Higgins said there was at least 200 federal agents in the crowd that day dressed up like Trump supporters. You see one of them right there. And when he's confronted by Capitol Hill police, he flashes his federal badge and the cops let him go. And then there's Ray Epps, The famous Ray Epps, who stood outside the Capitol building waving people into the Capitol building. And how do we know that Ray Epps was an embed? The average person who was convicted of anything to do with January the 6th got 3 years in prison. Not to mention 3 years solitary confinement before the trial started. You know what Ray Epps got in his fake show trial 2 weeks ago? A $500 fine and 100 hours of community service. People, you talk about stinking to high heaven. The Columbia doors on the Capitol building weigh 20,000 pounds each and can only be opened from the inside. So obviously Capitol Hill police purposely opened those doors to purposely let the protesters inside. And Donald Trump offered 10,000 National Guard troops to protect the Capitol building and Capitol Hill that day. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and even Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser all turned him down. Why? And when the National Guard finally was called in, 2:09 p.m. that afternoon, do you know what time the National Guard actually got on the scene? 6 o'clock that night. Why the 4-hour delay? Capitol Hill police officers are stationed right there at Capitol Hill. But on the other side of the building that you never saw, there were hundreds of them doing absolutely nothing. Washington, D.C. Metro Police even beat most of them to the scene. I could go on and on. And folks, you want to talk about insurrection. How about the George Floyd riots in the summer of 2020 when Black Lives Matter and Antifa killed dozens and dozens of innocent cops and civilians and burned American cities to the ground, and Kamala Harris even bailed some of the protesters out of jail? Or how about the 3-month siege of the federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon? How about May the 30th, 2020? When Antifa and Black Lives Matter attacked the White House from across the street in Lafayette Park and set fire to St. John's Church and injured over 60 federal officers. And Joe Biden has the gall to say on January 5th that political violence is never acceptable? Are you kidding me? But see, all of that stuff, that was just mostly peaceful protest. But January the 6th, that was Pearl Harbor. That was a day that'll live in infamy. Folks, Joe Biden and the left are trying to use January the 6th to stay in power forever. Because January the 6th was not an insurrection against the government. January the 6th was an insurrection of the government against us conservatives to silence us and shut us down forever. And why should Christians care about that? Because I get it every single day, like a broken record. Kevin, you shouldn't have anything to do with politics. Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics. For the trillionth time, it's not about politics. It's about freedom. And this same Jesus Christ that you have a personal relationship with, this same Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay the price for your sin, is the same Jesus Christ who gives the gift of freedom to the United States and tells us to protect it and defend it. Thomas Jefferson said, "The same God who gave us life gave us liberty." 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You care about truth in your relationship with Christ. You've got to care about truth in relationship with your country. The second thing we need to understand about this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it's based on truth. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about this relationship with Christ. Not only what it's all about, not only that it's based on truth, but also, this relationship is our hope for the future. It's another indication Jesus Christ is coming again. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here also in verses 16 and 17. But the problem is, people don't get excited about Jesus coming. They get excited about snow coming. My God, it's going to snow, it's going to snow. 80 to 65 inches, it's going to snow. We're going to be snowed in. We're never going to survive. So they swamp the grocery stores and buy up bread and milk like Amish farmers. Even the people who don't use bread and milk go to the grocery store and buy up bread and milk and toilet paper because we're going to be snowed in until at least St. Patrick's Day. It's panic porn, people. You tell people that snow is coming, they move heaven and earth like they're killing snakes. You tell people that Jesus is coming. So just remember, Colossians 1:27, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Christ in you, that's our hope of glory. Amen. Jesus with us down here guarantees we'll be with Him up there. And why should we hang on to that hope? Because right now we see the Lord doing all kinds of things to bring people to that personal relationship with Jesus. We see it here at Fox River. Last October, we had a woman get up after the service is over, come up in the prayer line. And she told me, something told me this morning to get out of bed, go to Fox River Lutheran Church and get saved. She said, so I got out of bed, I came here to Fox River Lutheran Church, and now I'm up here to get saved. Talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's like catching fish in a barrel. Hulk Hogan, bodybuilder, professional wrestler, TV personality for years and years. Got into steroids and drugs and drink and divorced two different wives. But last December the 20th, at the age of 70, Hulk Hogan rededicated his life to Christ and with his wife got baptized at Indian Rocks Baptist Church in Largo, Florida. Here's a video of what it looked like. Holy Hulkamania, people! God still moves! People still come into a personal relationship with Christ. It gets even better. Last July the 10th, Pirates Cove, California, Pastor Greg Laurie and his Harvest Christian Fellowship Church baptized 4,500 people in the Pacific Ocean. All people that had gotten saved watching that movie, The Jesus Revolution, about Greg Laurie's life. That's more people than got saved on the day of Pentecost. Revival's breaking out all over the place in America in 2023. Last February, revival at Asbury College in Kentucky and Texas A&M University in College Station. Last March, revival at Indiana Wesleyan and LSU in Baton Rouge. Last September, 124 people saved and baptized at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, along with physical healings. 200 students saved and baptized at Auburn University in Alabama. Revival at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee. Samford University, Birmingham, Alabama. All kinds of people finding out that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Last Thanksgiving weekend, downtown New York City, Times Square, all 27 huge digital billboards lit up with a video about the birth of Jesus Christ. A video that invited people to receive Jesus as the light of the world. This is what it looked like. Look at that. Even in these last days, even in the belly of the beast, God is still there calling people to himself, calling people to salvation in Jesus Christ. God is still with us. Jesus is still with us, just exactly like he promised to the very end of the world, calling people into that personal relationship with him. That's our hope. That's our hope for the future. And listen to me, we better be hanging on to that hope. Because right now, all the signs are there. We really are living in the last days. Last December the 20th, more UFOs over LAX. Going back and forth with three U.S. F-35 fighter planes. More demon spirits manifesting themselves, just exactly like the Bible says they will in the last days. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, in the last days there would be earthquakes in diverse places. Last October the 7th, 6.4 magnitude earthquake in Afghanistan. November the 15th, 3.6 magnitude earthquake in northern Illinois. December the 20th, 6.5 magnitude earthquake in Alaska and a 6.2 in China. December the 23rd, 3.1 magnitude quake in southern Illinois. January the 1st, 7.6 magnitude quake in Japan and a 4.3 magnitude earthquake in southern California right before the Rose Bowl. She's a rocking and a rolling, people, just exactly like the Bible says. Revelation chapter 18, verse 23 says, in the last days, there will be pharmakia, sorcery. Where we get the word pharmaceutical from, for drugs. In the last days, there will be all kinds of demonic drugs that hurt people's bodies and confuse their minds. Well, what do you know? We already have the COVID vaccine that's hurting people's bodies, and now we've got something called ketamine. It's a horse tranquilizer, a street drug called Special K that's being used to treat depression, and it's killing people. Like actor Matthew Perry found dead in his hot tub last October the 28th from the effects of the clot shot and heavy doses of ketamine. People, pharmakia is here. It's already here. Everybody all over the world looking to her. Pop singer Taylor Swift. Her Eras Tour is the most popular and the most profitable concert tour in the history of the world. Totally sold out shows everywhere she goes all over the planet. She is selling 2 million tickets a day. Right now, more people have seen Taylor Swift in concert and in her concert movies than any person has ever been seen by anybody in the history of the whole wide world. And folks, Taylor Swift is not a Christian. She's pro-abortion. She's pro-LGBTQ. She's for gay marriage. She's for trans and little kids. She's pro-Palestine. She's anti-Israel. I can go on and on. And people who go to her concerts, a vast majority of them are reporting this incredible phenomena. They lose their short-term memory. They get back home. They can't remember anything they saw or heard during the concert. Like, they're being hypnotized, they said. And Taylor Swift's boyfriend, Travis Kelce, the Kansas City Chiefs, is now making more money doing commercials for the clot shot, the COVID vaccine, than he's making money playing NFL football. Using Taylor Swift's popularity to push the clot shot. Pharmakia. And what's the symbol for pharmakia? It's the snake. Also the symbol of the devil. What is Taylor Swift known as? What is her nickname? The Snake Queen. Taylor Swift sells snake rings to the people who go to her concerts. Her fans bring fake snakes to the shows with them. Taylor Swift sang this in one of her songs. Every few weeks I wonder where the snakes are and why I am like them. Now, I don't believe with all my heart Taylor Swift has any idea what she's doing. But the devil does. You don't think the devil is using Taylor Swift to deceive people and lead them astray? By the way, who is Time Magazine's Person of the Year for 2023, known all over the world? That would be Taylor Swift, the Snake Queen. Everything about it, everything that's happening right now, folks, is setting up the entire world for the end, for the coming of the Antichrist and for the Great Tribulation. And here's the crazy thing. Even people who don't have a personal relationship with Jesus are sensing it too. For the last 3 years, all the so-called smartest, richest people in the whole wide world, all the tech giants, all the tech billionaires have been sensing that the end is coming. They don't know exactly what's coming because they don't know the Bible. But they know something is. And that brave new world that all their technology helped to create is going to come crashing down. So for the last 3 years, all these tech giants and tech billionaires have been off building massive underground shelters and underground bunkers that they think is going to help them survive and ride out the coming apocalypse that they think is going to kill 50 to 99% of all people on the planet. And there's all kinds of companies out there today that will help you do that. Right now, there's a company in Texas called Risings that for $10 million will build you an underground bunker that has everything from a swimming pool to a bowling alley in it, all covered up in a supposed bomb-proof door. A company in California right now called Vivos for $1 million will build you an underground bunker out of an old nuclear missile silo. A company in the Czech Republic called Quidium will now build you anything that you want to pay for, including a huge underground garage for your classic car collection. And all kinds of tech billionaires are taking advantage of it. Elon Musk has a huge underground compound already built near Bastrop, Texas. Google co-founder Larry Page, Silicon Valley investor Sam Altman, and PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel have a mutual agreement that when the end comes, they'll all go to Peter Thiel's compound in South Island, New Zealand. For years now, tech giants all over the world have been trying to buy the island nation of Nauru in the Pacific Ocean, northeast of Australia. Sam Bankman-Fried of FTX, before he went to prison for embezzling $8 billion from investors, tried to buy Nauru for $12 billion to build an underground bunker there. But the deal fell through. But the granddaddy of them all, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, huge lefty, who spent $500 million to rig the 2020 election and is right now building the platform that the Antichrist is going to use to dominate the world, is now building a ginormous, massive underground compound called the Zucker Bunker on the island of Kauai in Hawaii. And because Barack Obama's movies like Leave the World Behind and Civil War say that America is going to be up for grabs by April of this coming year, he is working like crazy to get it finished, like a top secret military operation. A megalomaniacal maze of underground mansions and buildings and rooms and passageways Self-contained power system, self-contained water system, all covered up with a supposed bomb-proof, soundproof door. $270 million. But you know what? Just like all those other tech giants, Mark Zuckerberg may be worth billions of dollars financially, but he is totally bankrupt spiritually. And all their efforts, all their hunkering in a bunker, all the thing that they're trying to do, is never going to work. Because none of those bunkers, none of those shelters can ever survive a nuclear bomb. They'd never be able to survive a bunker buster bomb. Or a chemical agent, or a deadly virus, or an asteroid strike, or any of the other dozens of ways that God is going to pour out judgment, according to the book of Revelation, during the Great Tribulation. Every single one of those shelters, every single one of those bunkers is going to be destroyed by the coming of Jesus Christ. So the question is, why are they building them? And the answer is very simple. To fulfill end times Bible prophecy. Revelation chapter 6 verse 15. When Jesus comes again, all the kings of the earth and the rich and the powerful people and all the tech giants and the tech billionaires will be hiding underground in their underground bunkers. And the judgment will be so scary they'll cry out to the mountains, "Fall on us! Hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." But there won't be any hiding. There won't be any getting away. There won't be any escape. Because all the money and the technology will not get them the only thing that will save them. And that's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So expensive, all the money in the whole wide world can't buy it. And yet it's absolutely free. Can't buy it because it can only be received by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Your shelter can't save you. Your bunker can't save you. Your technology can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. So James chapter 5 verse 3, weep and wail, you rich and powerful people, for your treasures are laid away by the world, and the misery of the age has come upon you, and your wealth has all cankered, and your skin will be eaten as if burned with fire, for the last days have come upon you. Bad news for them. But Christians, listen to me, good news for us. The good news is for us, we don't have to worry about the bad news. The good news is every single one of those underground shelters, every single one of those underground bunkers is just more proof that we are this close to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. One of the greatest things about Jesus Christ, He is omnipresent, which means He is everywhere at the same time, which means Jesus is not only here in your heart, He's also up in heaven. And any day now, any second now, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the cry, command, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christians, we're not looking for a hole in the ground. We are looking for a hole in the sky. Happy New Year to us. But you know what? It's not going to be happy. It's not going to be good news if you really don't have a personal relationship with Christ. As unbelievers listen to this sermon this morning right here in this church, the greatest thing in the whole wide world is to know Jesus in a personal way. And you don't. And I know exactly what that's like because I spent 21 years of my life thinking that I knew Jesus when I really didn't. Because there is a big difference between knowing about Jesus in your head and really having Jesus living in your heart. And it's the difference between heaven and hell. You're sitting in this church, you're listening to this message this morning. If you have never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, you've never prayed that prayer. If you have never personally received Jesus in a conscious way, you are not saved. Life is short, death is coming, hell lasts forever, and only Jesus saves. The nanosecond this service is over, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, you find somebody here to pray with, you confess your sin to God, you put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and you ask Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. You can't live for Jesus if you don't first of all know Jesus. There's believers sitting in this room right now. You do have a relationship with Jesus. But truth be known, you're not close to Him right now, are you? You've drifted away, haven't you? You know why? Because you're too caught up in other things. Yes, Joe Biden and the left are trying to destroy our country. But what about him? Yes, we're about to lose all of our rights and freedoms. But what about him? Yes, there's a war on now against the church and the gospel and the Bible and God and Jesus and parents and children and families. But what about Him? And I'm not saying we totally ignore all those fights and all those battles, because fighting those battles is a big part of what it means to live for Jesus in these last days. But you know what? You're never going to be able to fight those battles and win in 2024 if you are not closer to Jesus right now than you have ever been before. What about Him? Right now, forget about all the battles, all the fights, all the problems you got in your marriage, your family, your kids, that person at work, all the things you got going on at school. For just a couple of moments, forget about that. Where are you right now with Jesus? Right now. Let's come back to Christ. To that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing You. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing You. Don't sing it if you don't mean it. I want to know You, Lord. I want to know You. Do you really? The greatest thing in all my life is knowing You, loving You. The greatest thing in all my life is loving You. The greatest thing in all my life is loving You. Love Him. Come back to Him today. I want to love You, Lord. I want to love You, Lord. The greatest thing in all my life is loving You. Lord, we stand in Your presence here today in this church. We do not want to take one more step into 2024 without being close to You, closer than we have ever been before, for the battles and the fights and the service ahead. Pray, Lord, that every single one of us would come back to You in the way that You specifically call. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.